Hey, you want that to go?
I'm Lynn Scherr, sitting in for Celeste Headlee, and now it's time for some takeouts on stories we've been following. This weekend, another rough reminder of nature's power. A massive tornado swept through the rural Mississippi countryside, tearing down homes, power lines, and killing at least 10 people. The governor declared it a state of emergency, and tornadoes were also reported in Louisiana, Arkansas, and Alabama. The heart of the devastation in Mississippi was based in Yazoo City, Governor Haley Barbour's hometown.
There's tremendous damage just to the south of us, utter devastation. And then as you go east of here, the line of the tornado, which at this point was miles wide, went through more old neighborhoods outside the city limit.
Joining us now for an update on the tornado cleanup is Carl Gibson, a reporter with Mississippi Public Broadcasting. Good morning, Carl.
Good morning, Lynn. Thanks for having me.
Carl, you are reporting from Vicksburg, Mississippi this weekend. First of all, I want to know about the damage, but I also want to know, did you actually see some of the tornadoes? Were you in any of them?
I wasn't actually in those tornadoes. They had hit Saturday, and I was in Jackson. Had been sent out yesterday to cover the aftermath, but I did see a lot of the aftermath as it was being picked up and as people were still recovering from what had happened. I did talk to a lot of people who had seen the storm, and I was touched by what they had told me, both personally and as a reporter.
Let's listen to one of those people you talked to. Resident Kenny Gurley described the tornado for you.
Wind come through there and blowed me from one side of the house to the other, and I grabbed my son, got him on the ground, and my wife had my other son, got him on the couch, and we all kind of just laid on the floor till it rolled through, and like I say, parts of the roof come off, stuff was flying everywhere.
Sounds truly horrible. What exactly did you see, Carl? Describe the damage for us.
Well, you know, the first thing I noticed right off the bat was a shredded pontoon boat laying in the tree branches behind a house. I talked to the Gurley family. They had survived the storm while it ravaged their house. They were all fine. There was just a few scratches here and there, but one wall of their home had been completely ripped to pieces, and you could actually see plumbing sticking out the back of their house. There was another guy out in front of his house that told me he was house-sitting for his cousin while they were away for the weekend. While he was grilling out some food, said the skies had just gotten dark, wind had just roared through, and said it happened in a matter of seconds. But it's complete devastation on this street. There was about 8 or 9 homes that were completely destroyed. Near the end of the street, there were a couple homes that were unscathed, and those neighbors were providing aid and comfort and shelter to the victims who had been affected.
Here's another resident you spoke with, Sandy Grant. Let's take a listen.
I was really scared. It sounded like a machine gun. I come in the living room. All the windows popped out. I come and sit down on the couch and said a prayer and put my head between my knees.
There is, as I've never been in a tornado, but I understand there is this totally helpless feeling. And also, tornadoes can be so whimsical. One part of the street is gone, the next part is fine. Did you see anything like that, Carl?
Yeah, you know, like I was saying, there's a couple of houses that were completely unscathed. I took about 100 pictures while I was there in Vicksburg on the Sea Island Drive community, just off the coast of Eagle Lake, and that's in the South Delta in Warren County. That was where the tornado had first touched down. And when you drive along the road, you see debris start to coat the road when you get close. But as you turn down Sea Island Drive, there's complete devastation. You'd see mattresses hanging from tree branches. Like I said, remains of the boat were in a tree. There were cars that were completely totaled. Walls had been ripped off of houses. You could see plumbing. You could see washers and dryers and ovens just kind of sticking out of the house. There were, like I said, homes were destroyed. But, again, several places were untouched. Some folks had cleared up debris. They were burning bonfires in their backyards with refuse and debris that they had picked up and collected. And they seemed to be ready to rebuild and just get back on their feet.
Just quickly, Carl, if you could sum it up, any sense yet of how many people are without power, without water, without their homes?
Last estimates I heard, there were about 11,000 people without power. Those resources are expected to be restored by Tuesday. I know there are 10 dead in about 17 counties. We haven't really seen that part of Mississippi is known as Tornado Alley. We haven't really seen anything like this, though, since Hurricane Katrina back in 2005.
Horrible to think about. Carl Gibson, a reporter with Mississippi Public Broadcasting. Thanks so much.
In comparisons to Katrina, that's
chilling.
Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen has our takeaway sports takeout this morning. Good morning. Good Monday morning.
Good morning.
And it's a good Monday morning for some folks who went to the NFL draft, and some teams did very, very well. There's some interesting stories to look forward to in the upcoming NFL season. What did you see?
It's true. Well, this week, also, the Denver Broncos and the Jets both picked up some really interesting players. I'll start with the Jets first because they picked up this guy, Kyle Wilson, who played for Boise State. I like this guy because he came from New Jersey, and he grew up rooting for New York teams. Well, now he's going to be playing with Darrelle Revis, the best cornerback in the league, and underneath Rex Ryan, the best defensive mind in the league, on a really strong defensive-minded Jets team. So that's a really good pickup for Wilson and for the Jets.
Very scary role player on that defense.
Without a doubt. That's going to be a very good defense.
Don't want to get hit by him.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a strong team. There's also the Denver Broncos picked up Tim Tebow. Now, there was some speculation that Tebow was going to go to Jacksonville, that he was going to go back to his hometown where he had grown up. But no, he goes to Denver. He has a chance to play under Orton, and now he's going to have a chance to sort of learn the pro style, and I think he's going to end up and emerge as a better pro quarterback because of that decision.
But why the skepticism? It seems like Tebow's a sort of a Brady-like leader, personality, a big character. Okay, maybe he doesn't play the NFL style, but
he doesn't have the mechanics of an NFL quarterback. He kind of calls his shots, and that's what's going to hurt him if he doesn't sort of shift his style a little bit.
The NFL tried to make this draft, along with ESPN, entertaining. Did you think they succeeded?
That's interesting. Well, one of the things that was entertaining was watching the fans that were – some of the fans that were pro, the team, and other fans that were really pro the players coming out of college – fight against each other when they had no idea what was going on between each other. It's kind of a mob scene of like drunk men that was
right.
That
was, but they made coherent. They had shots into the where people
yeah,
got phone
like
calls.
Football
they
in
got,
general.
Yeah, right. Make a meeting into a football game.
There was also Ed Wang who got picked up by the Bills. He's arguably the first Chinese American to get drafted in the NFL.
Oh, that could be an interesting story. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, Takeaway Sports contributor. Coming up, the agenda.